Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Autogrill conference call. We remind all participants that only questions by analysts are admitted. Thank you.
Buongiorno, good morning. I'm Gian Mario Tondato, the CEO of Autogrill. Here with me there is Alberto De Vecchi, our Group CFO, and also José María Palencia is going to be connected from Spain. He's the CEO of ADEAS. Today is an important day in the history of Autogrill. Our vision is to be the world's leading provider of F&B and retail services for travelers. I think we have achieved this by following our strategy of organic growth and acquisitions. Today we are here to talk of the creation of the largest global travel retail footprint and strongest European platform as a division of Autogrill. We are proud to announce two landmark transactions consistent with our strategy. The acquisition of the remainder of ADEAS and World Duty Free are a positive catalyst for growth and profitability. We believe with these acquisitions, we are the world-leading airport service provider. This transaction, combined with the existing Alpha Retail, will also generate euro 40 million of run rate synergies and will optimize our capital structure. Let's move to page 3. So let's take a look at what has been the Autogrill journey. It is highlighted in this page. In 1996, floated on Milan Stock Exchange, the new Autogrill was born. At the time, Autogrill was a motorway business based in Italy with an F&B and motorway travel retail under the sole brand of Autogrill. 12 years later, where do we stand? Well, today we are a geographically diversified company. One third of our sales are in North America. Another third is generated in Europe. Italy today accounts for just 20% of our total revenues. Our most important channel today is no longer motorways, but the airports. And we have a brand portfolio of over 300 brands. We are now a travel service provider, including F&B and retail, and the largest service provider operator globally. We fundamentally serve two clients, the customers and what we call the landlords, that are the owners of the infrastructure. Moving to the next page, we talk about the first of the two acquisitions. Starting with ADEAS, as the first step of our growth strategy into retail, we bought 50% of ADEAS in 2004. And therefore, this further acquisition of the remaining 50% is a given. Why is this a given? ADEAS has been transformed after the initial acquisition from a Spanish company to a fast-growing international company. You already know ADEAS has been part of Autogrill since 2004, so I don't want to tell you a lot of things, you know. But we have been giving the support to the management team since then. And they have won some of the most important duty-free contracts in the last 3 years. And why is this 50% acquisition essential for us? It's a matter of scale, growth, local and global footprint, and operational excellence. Scale means that we are going to consolidate the residual 50% of sales that accounts for 830 million euros. The residual 50% of EBITDA, that talking about 2007 is 72.2 million euros, and EBIT, the 50% of the EBIT that is 66.4 million. But what do we bring to ADEAS? What did we bring to ADEAS? You see a clear picture on page 5. Empowering the incumbent management and working with their expertise, we have been able to move the company together from 5.5 historical growth to a robust double-digit growth. Even more important, doubling the size of the international business in 3 years from 15% to 30%. The management has been winning contracts, the most important contracts of the retails in the duty-free in the last 2 or 3 years, like Vancouver, Atlanta, and Kuwait City, not to mention the Spanish airport renewals. Now let's move to the new kid on the block, that is World Duty Free. The first piece of very good news is that the length of the concession contracts that we have negotiated is 12 years, with an important opportunities to extend them. The second good news is that the actual EBITDA is better than the EBITDA estimates in the market, because the actual EBITDA for 2007 is 37.4 million pounds, and EBIT is 29.3 million pounds. Sales account for 416 million pounds. The third good news is that in this environment, there are significant potential upside and growth opportunities. These are T5, the Open Skies Agreement, and the London Olympics in 2012. In addition to these opportunities, Heathrow is in particular a unique showcase for suppliers and travelers, not just in Europe, but across the world. The combination of Alfa Retail, Aviasa Retail, and World Duty Free will create the world leading airport retail and duty-free operator, as you see on page seven. Even more important, from a business standpoint, this combination will create the number one European player, as you see on page eight, with significant scale advantages and an important platform for growth. Being number one on page nine is not just a question of numbers. The size will allow us to play a new game, optimizing the European buying and supply chain, sharing operational best practices across the group, and allowing us to be a magnet for top talent. On page 10, to understand what market leadership is about behind the numbers, you need to look at the leading airports in Europe. We are present in eight out of the top 11 European airports, and you see on page 10 that, as you see in this page. So our stores serve two-thirds of the traffic through these airports. Just to give you a rough number, we are talking about half a billion of passengers every year. Moving to page 11, and drilling a little bit down into this new game strategy, we have to look at the airport traffic in Spain. Almost half of this traffic is generated in the UK. And in addition to that, what that means is that with our presence in T4 in Madrid and Terminal 5 at Heathrow, we are present in the natural hub for South America and the transatlantic and long-haul routes from the UK. By creating the European leader, we will be able to have a new commercial approach, following the customers from the origin to their destination, developing European coordinating promotional activities, European coordinated assortments, European aligned concepts, loyalty schemes, and everything like that, you know. These are the kind of things, initiatives that we are trying to develop from now on. This new game on page 13 will have an effect of a broader scale than just in Europe. The European leadership footprint, including the key Heathrow and Madrid assets, will be a showcase and enable us to understand the needs of the non-European customers. This understanding will help us to develop targeted offerings for other passengers, like the one coming from the US, India, and Middle East. An additional competitive advantage we have in our dual platform, retail and F&B, And this competitive advantage will accelerate our development in the fast-growing emerging markets, providing sales synergies and access to local talent. Take India on page 14 as an example. Through the Alfa acquisition, we acquired the concession on the Cochin Airport and the New Delhi Airport. Leveraging on our understanding of the country, we have, in a very short time, expanded our F&B business into Bangalore and Hyderabad. Creating the global travel service company, as you see on page 15, we have an important potential upside, not only expanding into different geographies and different business lines, but also by cross-leveraging our two businesses in geographies where we are already present. As you see, this acquisition makes sense from a strategic point of view. Now, Alberto will walk you through the financial rationale.
Thank you, Gianmario. As you can imagine, today Autogrill is under usual and customary confidentiality obligations, limiting the disclosure of certain matters prior to clearance by the competition authority. We have tried today with this presentation to give you immediately the general strategic framework of these two acquisitions, and now I will add some elements on multiples paid and the financing. Autogrill will provide supplementary financial information and other information on the acquired companies as soon as our legal obligation will allow us to do so. We plan to organize an investor day as soon as we have received the antitrust clearance that is dedicated to the approach of the global travel service company. Moving now to the slide that shows an overview of the transaction. You know that our history and approach in acquisition has been based on two principles. One, don't overpay for assets, and two, maintain a conservative financing approach. In executing these two acquisitions, we think we have stuck to these principles. And let me tell you how. In terms of valuation, if we looked at this transaction as one, the enterprise value of the two transactions is €1.07 billion, representing a multiple on the pro forma combined 2007 EBITDA pre-synergies of 12.2x. Looking at these two transactions individually, we paid the 50% of Aldeasa on an enterprise value of €354.5 million, which implies a multiple of 9.2x the 2007 EBITDA. We have also bought the 100% of World Duty Free for an enterprise value of £543.5 million, which on a pre-synergy basis implies a multiple of 14.5x the 2007 EBITDA. This may sound expensive to you, but the World Duty Free acquisition will enable us to unlock important revenue and cost synergies amounting to €40 million at the EBITDA level by 2011. Taking into account the net present value of these synergies calculated as at today, the implied EBITDA multiple of the World Duty Free acquisition would be 9x. These two transactions will be funded through a €1 billion new facility and existing committed credit lines, therefore optimizing the capital structure. Our 2007 net debt on pro forma EBITDA ratio goes to 3.4x, which is within our 3.5x covenant and well below the 4x limit provided for by the acquisition spike. We are confident that, thanks to our strong cash flow generation, we will be able to drop below 2.5x within the next 2 years. In terms of EPS before amortization, the two acquisitions are expected to be neutral in 2008 and accretive from 2009. Moving to the next page, we can see that in the last 24 months, Autogrill has invested about €1.7 billion to create the world-leading travel retail operator. With that investment, we have a business debt in 2007 would have generated a pro forma EBITDA of 150 million approximately. Even in a conservative synergy and growth scenario, we expect the business to generate an EBITDA in 2011 of 220 million euro. As said before, the 2011 EBITDA will include 40 million euros of EBITDA synergies, split in 30 million of cost savings and 10 million top-line improvements. In summary, being loyal to our two principles in acquiring these assets, we expect them to be value accretive in the short term. Now I leave Gian Mario to summarize and lead us to the Q&A session.
Okay. Summarizing, today is an important day for the future of Autogrill and for all of us. We are excited by these two transactions and the opportunity that they will present for the group from an industrial and value creation point of view. We welcome the colleagues of World Duty Free and the new colleagues of World Duty Free and the old colleagues, let me say, from ADEASA in this new combined entity that is the new Autogrill Group. Thank you for listening to us, and let's open the Q&A session.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to remind you that you may register for your questions by pressing star followed by one. The first question from Mr. Julien Recius from ODDO. Mr. Recius, you may proceed with your question. Thank you.
Hi. Morning. Well, I've got two preliminary questions. The first one is regarding the interest rates on your new debt. Could you tell us what it is and what are the bank covenants associated with the new 1 billion euros debt? My second question is regarding synergies. Could you explain a bit more what you call top-line synergies, the 10 million euros? Inside what I think is the 30 million euros attached to the cost savings, it represents quite a lot of your purchases in travel retail. Could you tell us how you can achieve that and what's the timeframe for that? Maybe a last question regarding the trends that we can expect for World Duty Free. Can you tell us, because I think there was a drop, I mean, a decline in sales per passenger in the last few years. Can you tell us what you think will be the growth, the top-line growth maybe, especially taking into account the disruption coming from the new terminal in Heathrow? Thank you.
First of all, let me talk a little bit about the Tornado speaking. Let me talk a little bit about World Duty Free. World Duty Free is performing very well in the first part of the year. It's going to be a different animal because it's not anymore a division of BAA, but it's an independent company, basically. It's a different really type of situation for them. We are under confidentiality, so we cannot, let's say, comment on the business plan and the future trend of the company, you know, because of course, we have a very detailed forecast for traffic, but it's still under, as Alberto said before, you know, still under cover, under confidentiality, so we cannot comment on that. If you want a general comment, I think it is extremely positive. Extremely positive.
Moving on the question about the cost of the facility. Let's say that our comment is that the overall cost of our debt is expected to increase by around 50 basis points on average. That is including the fact that we are going to have a higher percentage of pound-denominated debt in order to cover the pound asset that is more expensive. The fact that we are going to have higher debt that implies that we will be in a higher level of the ratchet. The fact that we expect that the base rates are already and will be in 2008 on average lower, especially if you consider our US dollar debt compared to 2007. So the net impact of these changes will generate an overall increase of our average interest rate expected in around 50 basis points.
Next question from Mr. Stefano Corneliani from Intermonte. Mr. Corneliani, you may proceed with your question. Thank you.
Good morning to everybody. I have just one follow-up question on World Duty Free. Could you just comment on the clauses you renegotiated with BAA as of the rent rate for World Duty Free? In other words, are you expecting the EBITDA margin of the company to decline because of higher rent rate going forward? Or we won't see any substantial disruption compared to the past? Thank you.
No, I think we don't expect the EBITDA margin actually to go down, but actually we expect the EBITDA margin to improve. That what we expect in the short term is that due to the opening of T5, we will have the same effect that we had in T4 in Madrid a couple of years ago, if I recall well. And so that there is a moment of in which you have to run not a suboptimized operation because the opening, but it's just a short period of time, a fine tuning situation, we'll say, for the operation. That's what we baked into our numbers. That's also the reason why the Mr. De Vecchi said that the 2012 is the year in which we will see the total synergy, the total value of the synergies.
Another question, if I may. Could you also give us a flavor on the ramp up of the building up your platform on purchasings? Between 2008 and 2011, which seems to us to be the final point.
I think it's too early to comment on the detail part of the. I think what we are comfortable to say is that the total amount of the synergies, that is around 40 million, but I would avoid to go in detail in the single part of this potential synergies. It's too early to do this, in my opinion.
If you can allow me to add a short comment on that, is that we think that it's too early also because, as we said before, on the two acquisitions, we're still waiting for the clearance of antitrust, and that is not because we have not already done our homework. You can imagine that in this situation, we have a good understanding of the industry because of the 2 years participation in Aldeasa. So looking from outside, we have already evaluated where are the potentials. Of course, one is to study theoretically, and the other is to looking into the real life of a company that is a very important company like World Duty Free. So for that reason, we don't want anticipate because we want to give you more precise and more details once we have. That is why also we are thinking about the Investor Day, because we will have in that occasion time to go through more in detail on these opportunities and to transform in an action plan.
But are you expecting the antitrust authorities to ask you sizable disposals or not?
No, I don't think we don't expect to have any major issue with the antitrust. I don't know if Jose wants to comment on past experiences of acquisition or consolidation. He can give you the flavor of why the critical mass and the size is important in this kind of business. Jose, do you want to say something?
Yes. Two considerations. First of all, that we have seen positive trend in expense per pax. It's a catch-up with the question made by the analyst from ODDO. A very, very strong growth, double-digit growth in January 08 non-EU passengers. It's true, it has been a tough year, 07, mainly due to the pound, strength. But we are foreseeing now a good trend in expense per passenger. Coming back to synergies, we are very positive. We have past experience, and we think we could be operating as a fully integrated company in a very, very short all right time frame. So we think we are very, very positive. We think we have been calculating very realistic synergies in terms of cost and top line, and obviously it's going to be challenging, but it's very, very, very affordable.
Thank you.
Next question from Mr. Carmelo Pappalardo from Desnesbank. Mr. Pappalardo, please proceed.
Good morning. Just a question on the possible goodwill that the acquisition of World Duty Free can generate, and in particular, if you are estimating some tax benefit coming from the amortization of the goodwill. Thank you.
Can you repeat the second part of the question, because I missed two words?
Yeah, I suppose that the acquisition was done through a Spanish vehicle, I suppose. If so, you are estimating some tax benefit coming from the amortization of the goodwill coming from the acquisition of World Duty Free.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Excuse me for having asked to repeat it. The two answers. First of all, to be precise, we have signed a contract. We are not quite yet. So the acquisition, based on say our today view, will be done most likely through Spain, and in that case, it is the most obvious vehicle that we can use is Autogrill España. That is already today the 50% shareholder of Aldeasa. So Autogrill España originally was our operational company in Spain in the motorways business. Since the acquisition in 2005 of the first 50% stake, has also role of a holding company, and we have signed the contract with Altadis for the acquisition of the remaining 50% of Aldeasa through with Autogrill España, and we expect to use the same vehicle. It is true that speaking about the acquisition of the remaining 50% of Aldeasa, that we will have some supplementary tax shield arising from this further acquisition. Then the magnitude is lower with respect to the previous one, because we have already, say, taken into value at the time of the acquisition of the first 50% most of the tax shield, but there is still a residual part to be added. When we speak about the acquisition of World Duty Free, as you know, there are advantages for Spanish companies buying non-Spanish companies. So in that case, this is another reason why we do expect to use the vehicle Autogrill España for the transaction. Theoretically, we could even consider now that we have the 100% of Aldeasa using Aldeasa, but that is, say, efficiency that in both cases we would be able to reach. In terms of your question about the impact in terms of increase of future amortization deriving from the acquisition, the impact of the acquisition of the 50% of Aldeasa will not be that material, in terms of supplementary excess price to be allocated. On the contrary, we do expect that the acquisition of World Duty Free will be much more material, so the excess price will be significant, and today, as you can imagine, is a bit early to say where we will allocate this excess price to the various components of both physical and intangible assets. So it is a bit difficult to foresee how it's going to come out from this exercise, staying still outside the company. That is also why we have said during the presentation that we have estimated for the time being the EPS before amortization, because it is a bit too early to give you precise indication of the impact.
Thank you.
Next question from Mr. Alberto Checchinato from Citigroup. Mr. Checchinato, please proceed.
Hello, good morning. Two questions. The first relates to your cost of debt. You were setting an increase of 50 bips. Could you please tell us what has been the average cost of debt in 07 for Autogrill? And the second question relates to Alpha. Given that you have now purchased also World Duty Free besides the 50% of the asset, do you plan anytime soon to dispose of the in-flight catering business at Alpha Airports, which now looks much more out of the image of the group?
The expected cost for the overall indebtedness in 2008 is 6%. That is, if we haven't done this acquisition, we were expecting 5.5. That is the famous 50 basis point of increase determined by the transaction we are discussing today. So 6% is the average cost we expect, in considering, of course, as I said before, the different composition of our debt in between US dollar, British pound, and euro.
Talking about the in-flight of Alpha, I think is we stay with the same the statement and the same decision that we had 6 months ago. So we are not going to grow in the in-flight business in terms of acquiring companies or developing this business. But we think that the in-flight division of Alpha is still an important part for in the Alpha environment. We have to combine the retail of Alpha with World Duty Free and Adeasa, so we'll see what is going to come up. And after that, we will take a decision.
Hello, Mr. Conigliani, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Please proceed with your question. Thank you.
Thank you. So I have a follow-up question, Stefano Conigliani from Intermonte. Could you just comment on the kind of statement you wrote on the press release about the accretion, earnings accretion as of 2009, when you wrote after extraordinary components? Is there any specific referral to be disclosed?
No, the reference is that we indicated that that calculation is considering the restructuring cost, because of course combining the business implies some restructuring cost. So the reference is that we have calculated the impact of in order to generate the synergies, what we cannot calculate, as I said in the previous answer, the impact of the amortization of the intangible, because of the PPA exercise must be still done, and this is the comment basically.
Thank you.
Next question from Mr. Filippo Facenda from Banca Leonardo. Mr. Facenda, please proceed.
Good morning, everybody. Would it be possible for you to disclose what kind of retention rate you hypothesized in your Aldeas acquisition from the 2009 renewal?
Well, in of course, as you said very correctly, we are talking mainly about the Aldeasa because with very long contracts like the one that we enjoy on World Duty Free, of course, there is always the issue to calculate the retention, but it's much better to calculate after 12 years contract than, of course, after a shorter one. On Aldeasa, we have followed the same approach we followed at the time of the acquisition of the first half, and in that case we have used a retention rate that is on the lowest range of what we have as a group. As a group we have on average a retention rate that is generally in between 80 and 85% on average, say probably more than 85 than 80. We have been more prudent in that case just to test the value. And of course, we have done sensitivities on a different level. If you remember what is going to say the shortest expiring contract is for the rest of Spain that is going to expire by the end of 2009, while the single most important contract for Aldeasa, that is the Madrid one, will expire only at the end of 2012. But in general, you're right that say this is one of the reasons why you see different multiples in Aldeasa and in World Duty Free is also connected to the fact that the average life of the portfolio of World Duty Free is much longer.
Sorry, a quick follow-up. Should I assume a 50-60 basis points dilution after the renewal on the EBITDA? Would you roughly agree?
Excuse me, it's impossible to understand what you're saying because the voice goes and
sorry.
Disappears.
Should I assume a 50-60 basis points dilution after the renewal? Would you roughly agree? On the Aldeasa, sorry, renewal, yes.
I would say that, frankly speaking, is a bit too early to expect such a significant dilution, honestly. So I would say that this is a bit pessimistic, but it's a bit too early.
Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Next question from Mr. Tom Walsh from Merrill Lynch. Mr. Walsh, you may proceed with your question. Thank you.
Good morning. Just a couple of questions. Firstly, the World Duty Free deal, I know obviously you're expecting synergies to come through on that, but I wondered if you could say if that deal meets your 12% IRR threshold that you've spoken about in the past. And also, obviously, you've made two pretty big deals today. Does that mean... Is that it? Are you still looking at making further bolt-on acquisitions, or are you going to focus now on consolidating the three big deals you've done in the last year?
Well, definitely, we have done in the last 12 months two important acquisitions, plus the acquisition of the remaining 50% of Aldeasa. I think that 40 million euro of synergies in 2011 is an important target that comes out from the consolidation of the business of three different companies that today are managed independently, and it implies a lot of work. So I do expect that we will be focused in the next 12 months to achieve quickly
the integration in order to create the most effective business model and try and start deriving and generating values and results. And for that reason, I would be quite surprised if we go back into the market in such a short period of time. Having said that, the fact that in 2 years we expect to go below 2.5 times the EBITDA in terms of debt means that we will remain flexible, enough flexible, to pursue also opportunities if there are opportunities that are interesting and consistent with the strategy that has been presented by our CEO today.
And the 12% IRR, has it been possible to calculate based on the new contracts you've got for World Duty Free?
Well, say that when you buy a company, it's a bit difficult to compare because, as you know, our 12% is the threshold that we use for analyzing a concession. That is, in principle, only related to the flows that are generated by the concession. In this case, of course, when you look at, for instance, the World Duty Free contract, is a contract, that's true, but is also the most important footprint in the most important airport area in Europe. So at this point of view, you cannot, of course, only say evaluate the contract, but you have to evaluate the presence. That means that, of course, when we evaluated the consistency of that price of that request with the flows, we also calculated the terminal value that is assuming with various assumptions and doing a sensitivity as we do normally at the renewal of that contract. So for that reason, is a bit, at the end of the day, the methodology is the same, but when you buy a company, you have to consider also these aspects. And in a way, if you like, you see that these aspects are also important if you look at the huge amount of synergies that you can generate. That, of course, normally is not something that you evaluate in a single contract, a single concession.
Sure. Thank you.
Next question from Mrs. Antonella Frangillo from Casenov. Mrs. Frangillo, you can proceed with the question. Thank you.
Hi, good morning. I have four questions. The first one is again on synergies. Can you just share with us where you expect revenue synergies to come from? Because I really don't understand where you can exploit revenue synergies. The second point is on the reported EBITDA of World Duty Free for 2007 of 37.4 million pounds. Can you explain how this compare with the reported 2006 figure, which according to Ferrovial accounts was 39.7 million euro, so it implies a big jump. Can you elaborate a little bit on that? And the third point is on the concession, World Duty Free concession. Is in the agreement included any renewal option at the end of the concession period? And finally, in terms of acquisition price, have you included the acquisition costs in the acquisition values you have provided?
Repeat the last one because we didn't hear.
Yes. In terms of acquisition costs, are they included in the values you have disclosed?
I start from the bottom. The last question is that we have included in the calculation of the EPS. So in the EPS calculation, the acquisitions cost had been considered And these are one of the reasons why the EPS on 2008 is not is neutral.
But sorry to interrupt. Are they booked at P&L? So they are not capitalized.
No. Let's say that in general, the acquisitions, and this is also the case, I consider part of the book value once we consolidate.
Okay.
If we are talking about costs that are referred to either, say, the cost for the advisory and the cost, the legal fees related to the acquisitions, as well as the upfront cost of the financing.
This and could you quantify all these costs as a total?
No, we are not prepared to give disclosure on that.
Okay.
Let me talk a little bit about the synergies. As I told you before, we are not we are ready, but we are not open. We don't want to expand a lot on the synergies. Basically, the cost synergies are quite understandable. You know, we are putting together three companies. Two of them are in the UK. So, with a process that we have to agree with the management, we will try to redesign an organization that is going to be more effective than today, you know. And keep in mind also that Alpha was on the stock market, a company floating in the UK stock market, you know. So it's a small or a medium-sized conglomerate with an in-flight business, a retail business, and a concession business for F&B. So it used to be quite complicated. So I think we're working on the simplification of business of the company, and we are really positive that we can achieve a very extremely successful combination with these new acquired businesses. On the synergies on the top line, you know, that you see are quite we declare 10 million, so it's not really an aggressive number, you know. What I can say is that if you look, for instance, at the, I give you a rough number, but if you look at the SKUs of the three companies, I think you have probably an overlapping of something like 60 to 70%. So I think it's quite clear that combining the expertise and the, not only the purchasing really, but the expertise, the visual expertise, and the cross-selling opportunities, you know, of the different companies, we will achieve an important number on the top line. If you go back to one slide that is on page 11, you see that basically 50%, just to give you a rough number, of the passengers going in Spain are originated in the UK. So it's clear that we are trying to develop a network, you know, sort of chain model that can serve the customers at the origin at the destination, you know. That's basically on a 10,000 feet vision, you know, the kind of opportunity that we see in this transaction, you know. It is a top line opportunity, not a cost saving opportunity. Have you seen in the declared synergies, we are pushing very much and harder on the cost side of the synergies. I think are quite reasonable and also, I wouldn't say easy, but I'm confident we're going to be faster in delivering these numbers, frankly speaking.
And the comment related to the difference of the EBITDA that is presented in our presentation and the one that is say derived by the Ferrovial information. I think that the last information that has been provided, I can be wrong, but the last information that has been provided by Ferrovial is referred to the first 9 months And the information that we have is coming out from the vendor due diligence that has been provided in the for the occasion of the transaction. And frankly speaking, I didn't make the exercise to going from let's say the Ferrovial figures in order to reconstruct what has been provided to us by in the vendor due diligence. I can imagine that the fact of taking into 12 months what has been the result of 9 months can have created some inconsistency, but this is an assumption. I didn't make the exercise to calculate the last quarter in order to see whether adding the last quarter to the 9 months we arrived to the number that has been provided to us in the vendor.
José María Parente speaking. If may I add something, emphasize something regarding the synergies. You have to reckon that World Duty Free is not adding complexity; it's adding volume. So that means that we could be optimistic in that because it's adding the main two categories, perfume and liquor, without adding further. Complexity. And regarding the transactions between England and Spain, you have to reckon that 60% of our revenues are made out of English passenger. You can reckon now with the Alpha Plus World Duty Free possibility to reach that passengers twice, what could be the commercial potential that obviously we have in mind and we will explore fast in the next weeks. Even for the next summer holiday period that is coming. So in that sense, either in cost and top line synergies, we are optimistic in the feasibility and in the speed.
Talking about the extension, if I can, I think I'm even if I'm going to be above 60 by far. I mean. Much more than 60. You know. I think that we are very confident that it's not only 12 years, but we will have an important extension on this contract. Quite positive on that.
But from a legal point of view, the current agreement doesn't include any renewal option.
As I told you before, we cannot disclose anything that anything else of what we said. We cannot add more.
Okay. Thank you.
To be precise on the number of public number of World Duty Free, I remember you that on third quarter, on 9 month basis, the number released by Ferrovial were indicating the operating profit. So it was an indication of EBIT, not an indication of EBITDA.
Next question from Mrs. Laura Leonardelli from UBS. Mrs. Leonardelli, you may proceed with your question. Thank you.
Three questions, please. The first one is related to your net debt. Could you provide the portion of your cost of debt that is fixed relative to interest rates, please? The second question, just a clarification on your debt facility related to World Duty Free acquisition. Is it set at a UK denominated amount or is it euro denominated amount? And my last question.
Excuse me. It's impossible to do. It's not clear. The voice is not clear. So
can you hear me?
Difficult.
Please difficulties. Try to speak slower.
Sorry. The first question is the portion of fixed average cost of debt. The second question is that, related to World Duty Free debt facility. Is it set at UK denominated amount? And my last question is related to World Duty Free EBITDA. You said that it was higher than market expectations for 2007. Could you provide a comment if it was a better picture overall or if it was related to a specific cost item? Thanks.
Okay. In the term of EBITDA, the expectation, there is a difference between how the number in our presentation and expectation, simply because on the 9 months, Ferrovial was not indicating the EBITDA, but only an EBIT. So analysts have to guess more or less from the EBIT what was the EBITDA. So the difference was not a difference speaking about trend, operating trend and something else, but simply because it was not a precise indication. So some analysts that were making calculation have to guess more or less from EBIT what was the EBITDA. In terms of the first question, we are going to release the results in 1 week, so we will give an update from this point of view next week.
Thank you.
La seconda non l'ho capito. Can you please repeat the second question?
On World Duty Free, you put together the debt facilities for the two acquisitions. I was wondering, for World Duty Free, is the implied debt UK pound denominated?
The financing is structured in three tranches. The first one is related to the acquisition of Aleasa, and of course is euro denominated. The second one is an acquisition financing related to World Duty Free, and is also pound denominated, can be denominated in pound and will be denominated in pound. And the third one is a revolving facility that can be used say to support the two financing facility if needed, and this is the case that it can also be say pound denominated. Once we have completed these two acquisitions, approximately the incidence of the pound on the total debt would be around 40%, 40.
Thank you.
Welcome.
There are no more questions.
Allora. Thank you. So if there are no more questions, thank you for being attending this conference. Thank you for also, because it was an early call, I think, for some of you. So thank you very much, and have a great day. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference call is over. Thank you very much for your attention.